Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You can take your seats. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He is most holy. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, praise and worship team. You guys did an awesome job. Amen. There go the little ones. Is anyone going down the basement tonight? No? Okay. Good. The reason I say good is because I need all of you here tonight. I don't know why I need you, but I do. Praise the Lord. I have a few short scriptures I want to share. And if they happen to explode and take a long time, that's okay. Right? How many like history? Well, my hand goes up. Barbara doesn't like history. Barbara says, history's fine as long as you only go back 2,000 years and only talk about Jesus. When I talk about the Civil War and things like that, she turns me off in a hurry. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray again. Seems like I prayed a bunch tonight. Let's pray some more. Father, precious Abba Father, you are so amazing. Lord, it is clear by your word, and it's even clear by experience for many of us, that your word is made alive by the inspiration of your spirit. And I'm just praying for that spirit inspiration to come to us tonight. Some of the scriptures that I will probably read will be very familiar to many of us. But Lord, even the most familiar of scriptures and what we in our natural mind might think the most simple of scriptures is totally profound because they come from you. And when these scriptures are inspired by your spirit, they turn into life. Just like if we eat a bite of good nutritional food, it becomes life to our body. And Lord, your Holy Spirit makes your word good nutritional spirit for our soul, for our spirit. And it gets good for us. So we just ask for that inspiration, that spiritual input and spiritual revelation that comes with your word tonight. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. A word that I don't even know how to use popped into my mind as I was praying. I have a lot of older study books, and I have a set of 1915 that makes them 102 years old. 102-year-old Bible concordances. And they're like a Bible dictionary in that it's not just finding and where to find every word in the Bible, but it somewhat explains it or tells the Bible passage that goes along with it. So there's volumes. There's like six volumes, big, thick volumes. And a word that they used back in 1915 and was spiritualization, the spiritualization of the word. Would that work in Spanish? Spiritualizing. I think in the modern vernacular, we would more than likely say spiritualizing the word. But this old volume, 100 years, 102 years old, talks of spiritualization of the Bible. And in this particular case that I'm remembering, it talks about the importance of seeing the spirit of the word. I don't have any of that in my notes. I just said it because it came to me while I was praying. I started with the thought of history. The Bible is very historic. And the Bible is the most accurate history book that we have in all of humanity. Now, those that do not know Christ, those that might be classified as antichrist, would disagree with that statement. They call the Bible just a bunch of old wives' tales and fables. But I beg to differ with him. I believe with all my heart that the Holy Bible that we hold in our hands and that we read every day is the most accurate history book on earth. Now, I know God does all things well, so I'm not about to say he made a mistake. But sometimes I do wish he did more. On certain subjects that I'm interested in, you can just take them so far. And then by spirit revelation, maybe you can take them a little further. But there, certain subject matters have limits on how much we can understand in this time and this age that we live in and this condition that we live in. We just go so far with the revelation of this word. But it's interesting how the more you receive from the Word of God, the more it broadens your mind and broadens your heart and opens the door to receive again something bigger and better beyond. And so even though we can say there seems to be limitations as to how much, once you reach that limitation, you realize you're hungry for more, and God opens the door, and pretty soon that limitation is on the other side of you, and you're beyond it, and you're finding out even more things about the Word. And I believe the words that Jesus spoke, he said, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. And I believe that's the reason why that our revelation of the word continues to grow and new doors continue to open as we progress. Because if the words that Jesus spoke are spirit and they are life, there is no death in spirit or life. And there is no limit in spirit and life. So if I read a scripture that's familiar to you tonight, just say, Lord, open the door. I want to know more. Amen. I don't know what happened to the poster, but we used to have a poster some years back. It hung back there by the hat rack where my hat is. And it was a partial listing of the names that are attributed in the word to Jesus. And there was something like, I don't know, like 60, 70 names on this poster. It just went on and on and on and on and on and on. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ has been made manifest to mankind since before creation. And the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ has presented himself to man in many, many ways. Not in just some, let's say, noun, like he's a man, he's a God. He's an angel, he's a messenger, he's a preacher, he's a teacher, you know, all these things. He's a chief apostle, he's a chief builder. But he's also things like wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, you'll see Jesus portrayed as wisdom. And it's like the whole word from God, starting in Genesis and ending in Revelation, everything in between has, in some way, it is presenting to us the Jesus that we know and love and embrace. It's presenting to us our Savior. And then once we accept him as Savior, our world begins to broaden. And our hearts and our minds begin to open. And our Savior becomes a redeemer, a deliverer, a healer, a restorer. And the list goes on. And so I guess you could call this the Jesus book. Now, Jesus was born 2,000 years ago of the Virgin Mary. But the spirit power, the Christ within him, the spirit life, the very power of God and the spirit of God that lived in that man Jesus that was born with that baby Jesus, that spirit is eternal past and eternal future. Now, your natural mind tries to grasp that, and it goes, tilt, dong. Blew a fuse. But there's something in the spirit of man who's born again that realizes, yes, I serve the eternal. I serve the eternal. I have become a part of the very body of the eternal. All that he ever was, all that he is, and all that he ever shall be includes me, and I don't even get it. I don't even know how, but I'm there, I'm with him, I feel him, I know him, we are intimately connected by the Spirit, and there's just something on the inside that says, yeah, I'm part of eternity. I'm all part of the plan. I don't know about you, it kind of excites me. So where do we start? We're just going to start. We're just going to start. Let the Lord work on us here. Go to Colossians chapter 1, please. Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. Some of my favorite books. Let me switch mics here. Here we go. And a child-proof lid on that bottle of water. Did I say Colossians 1? Well, let's start reading in about verse 12 and read several verses. Giving thanks to the Father. I'm in the New King James, if it makes a difference to you. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Did you know that you now are a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light because you're qualified? Someday, I believe, we'll see the day in the future, our future in God, wherever that might take us. We'll see the day that we'll realize that back now, as we're beyond in the future, we'll look back on the now and say, you know, back then, which is now, say, back then I was qualified and didn't realize it. I was justified and didn't realize it. I had benefits that I just ignored and didn't realize it. And we're going to look back and go, man, if I had known then what I know now, I'd have went places, done things, and been famous for Jesus. I'm just playing with that, but you get my drift. Verse 13 says, He, God, has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, who's the Son of his love? Jesus. That's Jesus, isn't it? I like this word in this Bible, the word rendered conveyed us. When I see the word conveyed, I picture, you know, I guess because I'm a man, but I picture a conveyor belt. We used to use conveyor belts to put hay up in the loft, you know, put hay up and higher, to stack it higher in the stack. Conveyor belts, you know, I've worked in warehouses where conveyor belts and conveyor chains were used to transfer materials from one location to the other. And it's like, I like this word because it tells me he's taking me somewhere. You know, we could stop here and preach on how that it's not by works, it's by faith. But when you get on the faith conveyor, you don't have to work for it or buy a ticket. You just get on the conveyor, faith conveyor, and stay there, and he'll take you somewhere. He'll convey you somewhere. And in this scripture, he has conveyed us into the kingdom of Jesus. Are you ready to be conveyed? I want to be conveyed as far as he wants to convey me. Woo! I like this. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Okay, I'm going to go back again to what I was talking about a second ago. When we get, you know, in that future place and look back on now and say, my goodness, I was delivered from the power of darkness. Why did I let the devil ever play games with my life in the first place? When I hear I was delivered from the power of darkness and didn't really realize what I had. You know, if you get a hold of this, you can just walk up to the devil and kick him in the teeth and say, enough is enough, old scratch. Enough is enough. Yeah. Basta ya. Amen. And number 14, it says, in whom, it's talking about Jesus here, the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. Oh, now I'm running off into the future again, looking back on the now, saying, oh my, I thought I had a grip on this redemption thing, and I was telling everybody how I was redeemed by his blood, but I didn't realize just how forgiven I was. One day when we get the fuller revelation, we're going to say, why did I ever let the devil feed me those lines of lies when all the time I was forgiven by the blood? Why did I ever let the devil and even some well-meaning people make me feel so guilty when I was forgiven by the blood? Oh, I'm forgiven, Reuben. I'm forgiven. Soy perdonado. Now I can't say it. Perdonado. Are you perdonado, brother? Say that. Say, I'm forgiven. Number 15 says, he, Jesus, everybody say, he is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. Now you might say, well, why, what makes God invisible? Well, like, for one thing, he's a spirit. Jesus spoke clearly when he was talking to the lady at the well. He told her she had, you know, too many husbands and all that. And she said, I perceive you're a prophet. He said, those that worship the Lord must worship in spirit and truth. Some say you worship in Jerusalem. Some say you worship in some other town. He said, no, you worship in spirit and truth. He says, the Father is seeking people to worship like that. And he said, God is spirit. And along in that same passage, he said, God is spirit. Well, I don't know how to tell you this, but I don't think you can see a spirit unless you're in a spiritual place and have spiritual eyes and spiritual revelation, and the permission from God allows you to see a spirit. You're not going to see spirit. Now, you may see the effects of spirits, both evil and good. You can see the effects of what they've done, where they are, and what they're doing. But you don't see a spirit. I believe we can discern spirits, and by that we might say, I saw a spirit go into that man. Well, you did see it, spiritually speaking. You discerned it, understood it, accepted it. You saw the truth of it, and by your spirit you realized something evil went into that man when he did that evil thing. So in that sense, you see the spirit. But do you ever see a spirit with these eyes? I don't think so. And God is a spirit. You know, I'm talking about evil spirits, but God is a spirit, and he's invisible. And so he wanted us to see him. So he gave us Jesus. You know, from the time I was a small child, I can remember asking the question, what does God look like? What does God look like? Well, I can assure you, he looks like Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Because it says here in 15, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Now, here's one that's just loaded. And he's the firstborn over all creation. Not only was he what I would call the first one to be born again, but I believe he was the firstborn. I believe he was the first manifestation of God that ever was in the eternity past. And I don't believe we have enough in the Bible to explain that, to hardly talk about it. But I believe Jesus was the firstborn of all creation. You could put it this way, he was the first expression, the first manifestation that God ever presented. If you go back to Genesis 1 and 2 and all along in there, you'll see he was presented as the Word, and he was presented as light, and he was presented as the Creator. Amen? But I believe that he's older than that. And the Bible doesn't tell us about how old he was beyond that, but eternity's as far past as it is in the future. And I don't think God was just sitting there in the eons of time past, twiddling his thumbs, waiting for our little 6,000, 7,000 year time to come along. He's been busy for about 28 billion trillion zillion years behind us, and he's going to be busy 28 zillion trillion years in front of us. That's what makes him God. So I don't get that. Well, that's what makes him God. You don't get it. If you could get it, you wouldn't need God. If you could understand it, you wouldn't need God. You could just be your own God. Huh? We need these things that are beyond us because they're evidence that it's God. That help? We're still in 15. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. And verse 16 says, by him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven. Now, I don't begin to know what's in heaven, but everything that there is created by Jesus. All that was created in heaven and that are on earth. You know, I know a little bit about the earth because I watch TV. You know, there's some things on TV that's good, about 1% out of 100. But I used to be a well driller, and I held a well driller's license in New Mexico for some years. In fact, I think it's probably still active, even though I'm not, because there was no limit on it. But I still, after all these years, after 30 some years since I come out of that business, I still get every month called a Worldwide Drillers Resource Magazine, and it's authors, and a lot of its writers and participating writers are Christians, and they're always I just love it. Month by month, I get half my sermons out of this Well Drillers, well, not half of them, but I get a lot of good nuggets out of this Well Drillers Magazine. And I got one the other day. They're drilling in the ocean, way down in one of those deep spots, you know, that 4 or 5 miles deep or something. I forget how deep, really deep. And they're drilling really deep into the earth's crust from the ocean bottom. And way down there, I don't have the figures with me, so don't hold me to the numbers because I don't have the figures with me. But I was sharing this with Barbara, and it was like thousands of feet under the sea, and then thousands of feet into the crust of the earth that's under the sea. And guess what they found? Way, 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 way down there. Life. Living organisms. Life. And this tells me Jesus was the creator of that life. Now, if he has hidden life in the natural that far beyond us in the depths of the sea, just think of the life and the spirit that he must have reserved for us to find. I see parallels in things like this, you see. I look into outer space. Don't get me started. And, the further they look, get a bigger microscope. What do they call that thing? Telescope. Get a bigger telescope, and they look a little deeper. Get a bigger telescope, and they look a little deeper. They get a better telescope, and they look a little deeper. And guess what they find every time they look deeper? They see bigger. They see more. The more they think they're about to see what it's all about out there, it's like, whoops, we just opened the door to the big spot. I love that. Because that natural parallel runs with the spiritual parallel that says, my God is that big. And Jesus was the creator of all that. Now, not Jesus, the baby born 2,000 years ago, but the spirit of Christ that was in Jesus, that spirit of God, that God part of him, that spirit force life. That's what we're talking about here. Wow. It's hard to have words for things like that. Verse 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible. Evidently, we haven't seen it all because some things are invisible according to this. See how big God is? I'm hoping you find little glimpses here of how big God is. We mention it like that. He created the visible and the invisible, whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Can you see a power? You can go stick your finger in a light socket and you'll feel the power, but you can't see it. There's a lot of invisible powers out there, right? And it says here, the last verse in verse number 16, the last sentence says, all things. How many things? All things are created through him, and watch this, for him. It's like when he was laying all this out, and he was creating this magnificence. Not only was he doing it for us, but he was doing it for himself. All of creation, seen and unseen, visible and invisible, all of creation is God's dream. It's all God's dream. It's his vision. It's his backyard. It's his garden. He says, this is what I want to do. I've always wanted to create these microscopic critters that live beneath the sea a million miles, and always wanted to do that. I didn't do it for me, he says. It's all for him. Aren't you glad you're part of his body? Now, we could stop and preach something else. If you're part of his body, that means he created it for you and me too. So what are we going to do with it? We don't know yet. Where am I? 17. And he is before all things. If he is before all things, then he is even before creation. Is creation a thing? I guess you could call creation a thing. Might not be correct English, but he was before that. And in him all things consist. I like number 18. All of a sudden now he gets out of the depths of the ocean and out of the stars and the universe, and he comes down to where we live and says, now he is the head of the body, the church. All of a sudden we've got a new manifestation. He says, you know, he flung the stars in space. And what's that old song? He hung the moon and flung the stars. And there's a song about that. Somebody knows it. My Father is omnipotent. In him, he flung the star. Come on, does somebody remember that song? It took a miracle to hang the stars in place. Come on, help me sing. And his love and grace, it took a miracle. That's a beautiful song. I better go to read, look that up and learn to sing it, huh? Well, he did it all for us. He is the head of the body, the church. He's made all these beautiful, miraculous creations. And he says, watch this manifestation. I'm going to have a church, a body to live in, a many-membered body to live in. It's going to be my church. And I'm going to be the head. He created that and made manifest that part of creation so we could be a part of it. Not only does he love the microorganisms and the lions and the tigers and the flowers and the birds, and he loves us. And he wants us to be a part of his creation. He wants our church to be a part of his creation. 18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead. Not only is Jesus the firstborn from the dead, but his body is the firstborn from the dead because we are in a new life in Christ. Did you know that the Bible calls us a new creation? You thought you were human, huh? Well, you were until you accepted Jesus. Now you're a new creation. The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, Jesus, may have the preeminence. He's in everything. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. Now, I could talk for 99 years and read to you out of every dictionary and every encyclopedia and every scientific journal, and I couldn't even come close to telling you how full the fullness of God, you know, what it really is. Because it's his fullness. And Jesus is that fullness. He is the head of that fullness. He is the creator of that fullness. He is the manifestation of that fullness. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Now, in chapter 2, while we're in Colossians, in chapter 2, I think it's verse 9, we see this is what I just read repeated. Verse 9 of 2 says, for in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, when it speaks of the Godhead, one of the things he's speaking of in the Godhead is that he's speaking of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what we consider as what we visualize as the Godhead. Well, what does the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what does that look like? What does the Godhead look like? It looks like Jesus. Because it says here, in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Bodily, does Jesus have a body? Yes. That's why God, in his sovereign plan, decided to, you know, he chose to bring Jesus forth 2,000 years ago from the Virgin Mary so that he could show us his body. Jesus was not just born as a man. He was born as God. That's hard to grab, isn't it? Verse 10, while we're there, now you're complete in him, who is ahead of all principality and power. You ever feel like you're just falling apart? Come on, you married people know what I'm talking about. You ever feel like you're just falling apart? You raised some teenagers. You just feel like you're falling apart? No, you're not falling apart. You're complete in Him. You're complete in Him. Everybody say, I'm complete in Jesus. Now, let's go to the book of John. It's St. John chapter 1. And look at this, kind of the same thing in different words from a different author. Everybody happy? John 1, and let's read about 5 verses. In the beginning, now I need to stop there and explain beginning to you. The beginning was before all else. I think we've got a relative term here that can be used in a lot of different ways, but think of it like that. The beginning was what was before all else. And also the beginning could be a lot of things. You know, I had 3 kids, and every time one was born, there was a beginning of a new life. And so the word beginning can be used in a lot of different ways, and it continues to have relevance in our life. Beginnings continue to begin. A lot of new beginnings. But in the beginning that it's talking about here is somewhere way back. The beginning that was before all things, in that beginning was the Word. In the Spanish version, it says it was the verb, el verbo. That's interesting, isn't it? The Spanish renders it as the verb was in the beginning. You know, what is a verb? It's to be or to have. What is it? It's an action of verb. I don't know. I got kicked out of 8th grade English, so I don't remember. But in the beginning was the verb or the word, and this word was with who? And this word was who? What did God use to create in Genesis 1? The Word. And who was with God? The Word. And who was God? The Word. Boy, this is just, you know, fills our brain, doesn't it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was in the beginning with God. He's trying to get it through to us, says it twice. He, the Word, was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Sounds like what we just read out of Paul's writings in Colossians, doesn't it? All things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him, the Word, was life. And that life was the light of men. In creation, what was the first thing that the Word did when He spoke? What was the first thing that came forth? First manifestation in this natural world was light, wasn't it? And so that light came out of the Word. So where did light come from? It came from the Word. Where did the Word come from? Come from God. It all goes back. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Wow. Where's verse number 9? Verse number 9 says, well, let's go back. We did 5. Let's go ahead and read 6, 7, 8, and 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, by the way, this is John the Baptist, not John the author of this book we're reading. There was a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist, and this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. And he, John, was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. And that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He, the light, was in the world, and the world was made known through him, and the world did not know him. Here we have Jesus manifested as light. It's interesting how the darkness couldn't conceive or understand the light. Here we have in verse 10, the world didn't know him, didn't know their own creator. It's like the world without Christ is clueless as to how all this comes together. The world without Christ is clueless as to how God functions or how he makes manifest himself. Like if someone from the world was sitting here tonight trying to analyze all this that I've said the last 30 minutes, they'd probably think that preacher is totally nuts. Because most of these things do not compute to the natural brain. These things are spiritually discerned and to be spiritually understood. Amen. I mentioned, you know, the various names of Jesus and we had on the poster, and one of those names was wisdom. Let's go to Proverbs 8 and then look at that just a little bit. In Proverbs 8, I'm telling you, folks, Jesus is everything. Before he became Jesus 2,000 years ago, he was everything. And he still is everything, and he always will be everything. If you want to see God, you got to look at Jesus. If you want to come to God, you got to look to Jesus. If you want to live with God, you got to live with Jesus. Jesus said, "No man can come to the Father but through me." It's all about Jesus. Always has been, always will be. Where am I? In Proverbs 8, look at verse number 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Now, what I want you to see, the first two words, I and wisdom. And then jump to verse 22. Because this whole chapter is about wisdom. And wisdom tells us here in verse 12 that wisdom is speaking. So I'm going to read I, wisdom, out of 12 and then go to 22. So I, wisdom, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. We talked about the Word. We talked about Jesus. We talked about the Creator. You know, all these things that were with God in the beginning. Wisdom was also there. Because one of the names of Jesus, or the Spirit of Christ, is wisdom. And wisdom says, I, wisdom, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Now, I don't have a date. I can't give you a calendar and show you a date to show you where it is, the before his works of old. But I got a feeling it was way back there before creation. Number 23 says, I, wisdom, have been established from the everlasting and from the beginning, before there ever was an earth. Is the earth old? Yes. Is wisdom older? Yes. Number 24, when there were no depths, like depths of the sea, I, wisdom, was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, and before the hills, I was brought forth. I, wisdom, was brought forth. While as yet he, God, had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the earth. And when he, God, prepared the heavens, I was there. You see, and why we can call Jesus wisdom? When he, God, drew the circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, and when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, and when he, God, marked out the foundations of the earth, then I, wisdom, was beside him as a master craftsman. Now, Paul and John both taught us just tonight, what we learned just tonight, Paul and John both taught us that Jesus created all things. He was the master craftsman, the master creator. But here we see him as wisdom, called wisdom. He says, I was beside God as a master craftsman. Wow. He says, I was daily God's delight. Can you just try to picture God being delightful? You know, we picture God as being firm and mean and stern and wrathful and disciplinarian. Well, he is when he needs to be, but he's the most delightful of all creation. You know, Jesus is the most delightful of them all. He's where God finds his delight. Verse 30, I'll do it again. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing also before him, and rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight, wisdom's delight, was with the sons of men. And I could say some things about that that would probably make you throw rotten tomatoes, so I'm not going to do it. But I'll put it I'll put it lightly to you in a few words and let you play with it. I believe we've had inhabited worlds for the eons of time beyond, behind us. And I believe there has always been inhabited worlds because there's always been a creative God. And I believe there always will be inhabited worlds. And I'm saying worlds, plural. Now, see, you're wanting to throw rotten tomatoes already, aren't you? No, I just believe God's that big. And there's no way we can really grasp all of these things that are in the unknown. All these things that are in the invisible. He didn't tell us about the times before. He tells us a little bit about who was there and who created the times before. But he doesn't talk, before Adam, he didn't talk much about that. There's a little piece here and a little piece there, a little piece in Genesis, a little piece in Ezekiel, a little piece in Isaiah, a little piece in Proverbs, little pieces here and there. But he didn't talk much about that past, does he? He pretty well starts us with Adam. But someday, we'll be able to ask him all of those interesting, what I call interesting questions. And he'll have the answers. But I like these words, delight, in Proverbs 8:30 and 31, when he talks about delight. Wisdom was God's delight, and wisdom found his delight with the sons of men. He still finds his delight with us. Nina, I know your three kids just, keep you busy, but don't you delight in them? Don't you just delight in those little stinkers? You got babies and grandbabies, you just delight. You ever see Maldo with his grandbabies? The guy's a nut. He's an absolute nut over those grandbabies. You delight in them, don't you, Maldo? That's a good word for it. I delight in those babies. When things are going bad, I get a baby in my arms for comfort. When going through a rough spot in life, I get a baby in my arms for comfort. I delight in these babies. Amen? Well, I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. I usually enjoy my own preaching more than anybody else. That's the way about my jokes. I'm always telling Barbara jokes that I just make them up. The Lord just blesses me with them in the shower and blesses me with them in my sleep and at the breakfast table. The Lord just blesses me these jokes, and I tell them to Barbara, and it's really hard to get her to laugh. And I'll just sit there and laugh until I'm crying at my own jokes. That's kind of the way I am in my own sermons. I just thoroughly enjoyed this. So I hope you got a little bit out of it. Well, God bless you richly. I'm going to leave you with that, leave you with all those questions to sleep on. I better not start over. I told you what God looked like. He looks like Jesus, right? I can even tell you where he came from. The Bible tells us that. He came from Teman. And if you look up the definition for Teman, it's the south. That's all it tells us about where God came from, as far as, when he got to the earth thing. He came from the south. And that's all, to explain more. There's no more to explain. That's all he told us. But he did tell us something that really explodes in our spirit when we get it. And that's, what does he look like? He looks like Jesus. He looks like Jesus. Now we can see him. One day we'll see him as he is, and he'll see us. We'll see one another all wrapped up in him. Ooh, it's going to be good. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for the opportunity to open these things up. We just pray, Lord, that anything that we've said that shouldn't have been said, let it just fall to the ground and disappear. But Lord, we just believe that the vast majority of this is just things that we can grasp and get a hold of and chew on and receive revelation from. And Father, we don't pretend to know it all. And what we think we know now, we're open for more. What we think we know now, Lord, is just the beginning. It's just the step in the right direction to get into to that open door where you can show us more and greater and more wonderful things. Lord, we just thank you for sharing all the mysteries with us. You are so awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the week.